This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Watchers.
Tom, I was just going through my list of things that I've watched and I realised I still had The Good Place on there.
Oh.
And I had to take it off.
I have stopped the last podcast halfway through for when I am very flat sometime and I'll go and finish it properly then. Give me pick me up because the last proper one with Mark Evan Jackson hosting was quite emotional.
I bet it was.
He got a bit torn up.
Yeah.
But it's okay. He's got a Brooklyn Nine-Nine podcast now.
So many fun shows.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Nine-Nine one's really good. There's been six episodes so far and each one is like with a writer, one of the actors and a producer or something like that, and they talk about one specific season. So they've caught up the last six seasons ready for
seasons. When it starts off again.
And it just did the other day.
Yay!
And it was good to have it back.
I tell you what, though, I've watched a couple of episodes of now of the Awkwafina's Nora from Queens, and it is very funny.
Okay, good.
First episode showed a lot of promise, and then I watched the second one where she goes with her grandmother to Atlantic City, and I went, "Oh, okay, I'm
cool.
This is my show now.
That's your jam.
Yeah, it's my jam."
And now a word from our sponsor. How excited you were when you and your mate got huge, heavy backpacks and filled them with everything you needed to survive lots of hostels. And you flew halfway across the globe on your six-month adventure. There were new sights every day, new mates from far-flung places, eating toast with pesto sauce on the slices because you forgot to bring Vegemite with you, saving your allocated spending money not on museums and tourist attractions, but rather cheap alcohol. Because priorities. We bet you miss those days as much as we do. You're too old for it now. You'd look like a toolie, but you're too young for those retired folks' cruises and bus trips. You're smack bang in the middle with nowhere to go. Till now. Join one of our not quite youth holiday tour groups today. If you're between the ages of 35 and 50, this is just for you. No hostels, no bingo. Instead, lots of places you can't remember going to the first time and better alcohol. Relive your younger travelling days with like-minded, non-sad people. Book your next adventure today.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 116. Tom, I feel like we've already daved right into that because we were just talking about how long our lists are of stuff we've been watching.
Yep.
I already know I'm not going to get through it because there's about 20 things on here.
Well, I guess we can cross off Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's back. Yeah, hello. I watched that. I'm taking that right off my list right now.
We've got a quiz as well, which is, I didn't even do this one, Tom.
Oh, a submission?
It's a submission. If you have a quiz idea, you can also send it into thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. This one's from Hayley, so I won't give you too much, but it's a fun one, but relatively easy.
Okay,
I think maybe she didn't want to go too hard, and we appreciate
That's
that.
Gentle.
Yeah,
nice.
Nice and gentle. Mm. Should we kick off the news?
Please.
You said you've got a lot.
So much big news. One bit of big news that is still developing as we record is that it looks very, very likely that there's a Friends reunion happening at HBO Max.
HBO Max is getting a lot of stuff.
I think this is a big push from HBO because they were the premium content cable provider for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then Netflix and streamers have swooped in and kind of stolen that thunder. So,
and they're missing Game of Thrones now.
That's right. So HBO Max is an opportunity for them to stand out from the others like they did back in the day.
Mm.
And I think if they get some really high quality premium adult content, that could be very cool. I don't know what that version is of Friends.
No, I'm not sure either, except for some
I mean, I hope it's like Chandler go, could I be any more fucking frustrated?
Yeah, that's not just the same level of jokes, but just a little racier. Or
yeah, a bit blue.
Swearier. Blue, thank
Throwing
you.
A bit of blue.
It's really good. Not the song, though.
No.
Or the group.
Or the group.
Mm. Oh, the Blue Man could come in.
Blue Man Group?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you meant Blue, the UK pop group. All Rise.
Oh, yeah.
All Rise. There you go. There's a pool.
I get them mixed up with...
98 Degrees? No.
No. The other UK boy group that was around
five?
At that time, Five.
But that was spelt with five Ive.
Yeah.
They did the number five and then IVE.
So clever.
I know plenty of the words of their songs.
Wasn't Pink, instead of an I, she was an exclamation point?
Yes.
Mark, I should say. But Five obviously had five members. Blue, I think, only had four.
Correct.
Do you know as many Blue songs as you do Five songs?
I do
songs?
Not.
No.
Linz, if we were to pull her in, she knows plenty of the Blue stuff.
She would have been right there
in
the UK when they were kicking off.
And I always have to be careful and think for a moment because the S Club 7 get a thumbs up.
Mm.
Steps get a thumbs down.
Oh, tragedy.
I know. I agree 100%. Steps are great, but she has something against Steps.
That's fair enough. We've all got our own like pet hates about stuff that we cannot really explain why.
No.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Oh, you were speaking about HBO.
Yes.
I do agree. This Friends thing is a big coup because so many people love Friends, and this reunion has been not so much talked about but wished upon.
Oh, for sure.
For years now. So that's going to be huge. But I also got a little bit of a, just a quick one. Remember a few weeks ago we were talking about how HBO were going to do a limited series of the adaptation of the movie Parasite?
Yes.
Well, bit of gossip, they want Mark Ruffalo as the main, like the lead.
Nice.
Mm.
So I don't know if we even talked about it, but Adam McKay is doing it with him. Who?
Yes. Yeah,
was Will Ferrell's buddy for years, did all those movies.
Didn't he direct Vice?
He did Vice and The Big Short, and he's gone suddenly into very grown-up but still black comedy, like very, very funny black comedy.
And I think they would be very happy with the fact, like I'm talking about HBO would be very happy with the fact that a lot of Oscars were thrown at that movie.
I know. And you haven't seen it yet, so I don't know who Ruffalo would play.
Okay.
I have an idea, but I could see him being either side of the coin or the fence or the split in the window pane. Anyone who's seen it will understand, which...
You're doing this really well, by the
Thank you. I'm trying to dance between raindrops right now. This is a lot of potholes in this road. Yeah. He could go either way.
Mm. But that's an HBO coup.
Oh, I could even, yeah, there's a third I could see. Anyway, very cool.
But if they're trying to get him, imagine who else they're getting.
I don't know how they made a Gruffalo movie, right? And was it James Corden that voiced the Gruffalo? It seems like the sort of thing Corden would do. He did Peter Rabbit, but he likes to voice British cartoon characters.
So I can do the British accent. It's not one accent, by the way.
How is there not an American version with starring Mark Ruffalo? It annoys me. I'm sorry. Like,
should we start a petition?
I don't know. I've been making this joke for a long time.
You can bring it out next month, okay?
Thanks.
What else have you got?
Well, speaking of things that we can't bring out next month,
you
remember when I went to Universal in Hollywood last year, I was very excited to go on the Walking Dead walkthrough attraction, which had been there for a couple of years and had been based on one of the Halloween Horror Night mazes they've been doing for many years. It is closing.
Why?
March 3rd is your last chance to get in there.
Holy dooly, that soon.
I can explain why. It's for a couple of reasons. One, it's for what it is, which is just a walkthrough attraction with jumps and scares. I imagine it would cost them a fair bit because it has live actors. So there are people that they've got to hire to jump out of walls all day. And that makes a lot of sense at Halloween because you can hire cheap students. But all the year round, then you're covering benefits, medical, all sorts of stuff. So I imagine that's one part of it. The other, probably more important part, is that where it's situated in the park originally was a bit more adult. And over the last few years, they've put in a Minions ride and they've got a Secret Life of Pets ride opening next to it.
Right next to it.
Like right next to it. So that whole area instead has kind of become like a illumination sort of Minions grew, Despicable Me, all that sort of stuff. So having The Walking Dead right in the middle of it and having trippers like me come screaming out of that thing like, oh, my God, what was that? Oh, my God. And like want to lay on the ground and twitch right next to where kids have just been watching animated dogs trying to escape from an apartment.
It's a strange mix.
Yes. So I think that's the major reason why.
I wonder how like the Walking Dead franchise, the business, how they feel about this.
I imagine they still get to jack things up majorly for Halloween. So it's not going to be a huge hit for them.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to keep – the ratings are not what they were as
No, but they've also got this two-season limited spin-off.
Yes.
There's limited also series for 2 seasons, and they got the movies coming out. But I understand, yeah.
Look, we still don't know too much about what's going to be inside the Epic Universe Park that they're doing, the third one in Orlando. One section of that is going to be based around the Universal Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's meant to be like Frankenstein's castle and the windmill from Frankenstein in there.
So it could sit there.
It could sit there because what the plan, like this is how in depth I'm getting with this stuff. I've been looking at the blueprints and the patents that they've been filing and things like that. And in the back of that section where the horror stuff will be, there is a very large area already earmarked for a second phase expansion. And the two going ideas for that, if they want to keep it within monsters, would be a boat ride through the creature of the Black Lagoon.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Which would be very cool because they don't have the Jaws ride anymore and they don't have what is a Jungle Cruise equivalent.
Mm.
And then the other theory is that it would be some sort of large zombie-based Walking Dead attraction.
If you want jump scares, zombies. Every day, zombies. My friend lives quite close to one or some of the parks in Florida, Orlando. Maybe I should ask her to do a couple of recces for us.
Have a bit of a look. Don't try and drone. You'll get in a lot of trouble.
The legal expenses are probably a bit much.
Yeah, and Disney seem to already have some sort of relationship with some of the journalists and photojournalists and allow them to cover elements and this sort of stuff. So things get out.
We'll get stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
They said it couldn't be done, but I just watched them put a baby in the corner. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Speaking of getting stuff, now I can't remember if we knew that Maggie Gyllenhaal, or Gyllenhaal, was going to play Gladys Presley, a.k.a. Elvis's mum, in, you know, the Baz Luhrmann musical about Elvis?
Oh, we did talk about that. I know we have. I'm sorry. It's just so many words that
I know.
I'm not into.
So anyway, she's going to be the mum. We're going to have Austin Butler playing Elvis and Tom Hanks is the Colonel. So if there are not a lot of colours in this, I don't know how to feel. It's a Baz Luhrmann production. The blue on the blue suede shoes has got to be like eye-piercing, right?
It's going
to
be a lot.
Yeah. But Maggie's in a lot
of things.
Is
he going to really colour his eyes?
Every scene a different colour.
Oh, but I mean like make him full-on blue.
I hope so. Surely there's some sort of like colour saturation that they can do in post. Look at me talking like I'm sure someone who knows what that's about, like that she's using all the wrong words. But surely they just like in The Matrix, you know how in The Matrix it was like a green tinge, but out in the real world it was red-y, earthy. Maybe they can just like blue everything up.
Just
as in
switch out
the
some
color.
Palettes and that.
Mm. We must ask Paz about it sometime.
Might be a composite shot.
Oh, that sounds so real.
It is real.
Okay.
All right, so I look forward to not seeing that Baz Luhrmann movie.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
You can go and see that one.
I'll let
you handle that
thanks.
One. Do you like Elvis?
No. I went to Graceland. Do you know what
You did not answer my question. You went to Graceland with someone.
I went to Graceland with someone because we were in Memphis. But the thing that I was most concerned about was that his grave is there in Graceland with his mother and I believe his father. But they're like quite close to the pool but lower down on the ground. And I'm like, if that pool springs a leak, someone's got to chase the coffins down the hill.
Oh, you think he's in there?
Yeah, for sure. With these saturated blue suede shoes.
Do you reckon he got buried with a sandwich?
The sandwich?
And I don't know about the one, but like he would have had some crazy stuff in his will. Maybe it's like, if I'm going out, I want to take a sandwich with me.
His kitchen was carpeted. It was orange, shaggy carpet. And with the amount of greasy food that would be fried there, can you imagine?
I got to say, like the thing that killed him, or like choking on the toilet, right? That's bad. Mm. But the sandwich he ate would kill me.
Yeah, that would kill you.
Peanut butter and banana? Mm-mm. Like, those are my two biggest allergies. In one sandwich, deep fried.
You probably still can't go to Graceland.
Nah.
It's probably still a hazard to you.
Did you drive there or were you walking in Memphis?
Oh, what did I do? I think I caught the bus.
Oh, nice.
I was a backpacker. So it was either going to be walking or catching the bus.
Did you hitch?
No.
I've never hitched. I can't do that.
No.
I don't want to get in a stranger's car.
It's not the 1960s. Oh, yeah. You pay the hitchhiker.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
You pay to be a hitchhiker now. Huh.
I've never thought of it that way. Now that I have, my brain is hurting. Tables have turned. Whose turn is it to tell a story? Yours. That was all Elvis.
Sure. Well, we got some news about some timing for some of the Disney Plus Marvel shows and Star Wars, which is very cool. So Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to be debuting in August this year.
That's quite soon.
It is. And it is a little earlier than we expected.
Mm.
Mandalorian is coming in October, season two, and WandaVision is going to be in December. Now, that one was announced for next year, so they've moved that up. I think this is all in response to how strong a reaction Mandalorian had.
Agreed.
I imagine there's been a bit of drop-off of people. You know, there's not as much original content coming out in Disney
I've
Plus of that style.
I've heard a little bit of that in conversations, people saying, now that I've watched everything that I wanted to watch on Disney, I'm just waiting.
Yes. Mm. And I'm kind of cool with that because I've been checking out old stuff and Shay is watching old stuff and taking a break from Full House.
It's a miracle.
But, yes, those are some really big pillar shows. Mm. So they set up quite strategically with August, October, WandaVision. Now, interestingly, so WandaVision coming in December, and we've got Doctor Strange 2, which is, I believe, booked for May next year, 21.
Okay.
And that one's called The Multiverse of Madness.
Without Rachel McAdams.
No Rachel McAdams. And Scott Derrickson, the director, dropped out.
Mm.
And there's a lot of rumors that they're trying to get Sam Raimi, which would be great.
Okay.
He's got a lot of experience with Spider-Man and Marvel already.
Mm.
And Army of Darkness, Evil Dead, all those movies, he's good with the scary horror. And I could see, like, basically, there's no way that we have this movie, The Multiverse of Madness, where we don't see a messed up reality version of the Avengers. Whether that's a zombified Iron Man or, you know, characters who have died, we will see as someone else. Somewhere?
I think more than any other Marvel characters movie, Doctor Strange is the one that you've got to have a director who's not only willing to go crazy, but also manage to make it look beautiful, confusing, and make sense all at once.
Confusing is the right word.
But not too confusing.
They've done a run of Doctor Strange comics, which was really cool, which... it would flick between a coloured version and then a grayscale, but all the horrors that humans can't see were in colour, and it was showing what Doctor Strange saw each day and, like, walking down the street, parasites on people or, like, sucking brains, sucking souls. It was really full on. If they can get a bit of that going, that's amazing. But I feel like we're either going to see it, like... The only reason we might not see zombie Iron Man is because in the most recent Spider-Man, there was a dream sequence where the Iron Man suit came out of a grave. But we will see someone else's Captain America because we've just had the Captain America Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Yep.
And then if they can convince Robert Downey Jr. to come and be in it for a minute, I want him to be another universe's Doctor Strange.
Oh, that'd be good. He'd be a good Doctor Strange.
Well, they're both Goaty brothers.
Yes.
They're both snarky know-it-alls.
Yep.
And all it would take is the flip of a coin from the guy who's the tech genius of the universe to instead be interested in magic.
Mm.
And then this is the brilliant part of where my scheme is. This is the perfect way to introduce Doctor Doom because Doctor Doom is the meeting point between Doctor Strange and Iron Man. There's some cool stuff they can do there, but, yeah, I think we're going to see some trippy alternate universe alternate reality, whatever you want to call it, versions of people we either know already and have around or have lost.
Which I think is great because with Endgame and what's the name of the one before?
Infinity War.
Thank you. I went blank. It was a who's who. And I think people would like to see a little bit more who's who.
Oh, yeah. Everyone wants to keep that connective tissue going, even though this is going to be a new phase, new volume, whatever you want to call it. That's what we've been conditioned to expect.
What the fans like.
So we already know that Wanda, like Scarlet Witch, will be in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Loki will pop up somewhere, it can tie into the Loki TV show, which will come out after that.
Okay.
But the reason why I think this is going to be a big one is because the May movies are Marvel's always the big ones. That's where they've always done Avengers, the big Captain Americas. They've got Black Widow this year, and with Doctor Strange 2 next year, then it's kind of the chance to be like a Civil War 2, one that smooshes together and brings in a few new characters.
Yeah, I would like that. You were talking about Disney Plus and Star Wars, and we knew that we were going to get a Rogue One prequel, but there wasn't much info about it. But the last week or so, it has been like confirmed that Diego Luna definitely is in that show now.
Good.
Which is really cool. Diego Luna's amazing. So to be him and whatever the droid was.
Alan Tudyk.
Yeah. What was
K2SO.
Thank you. So they're going to be in that. Don't know when it's going to be. Maybe it's going to get pushed to after WandaVision. Like maybe it's maybe it's a year away. I don't even know if they've started filming yet. But that would be really cool to mix in. You've got your weekly Marvel stuff, your weekly Star Wars stuff, and they kind of interchange or go. Because we've also got the Obi-Wan.
Yes.
Which is now going to be a TV show.
And they've got like Clone Wars.
Yeah, the animated final stuff. Clone Wars season. Yeah, okay.
They've said that.
Okay, all
twice
right.
Before.
Well, let's not believe a thing they say. But one thing I only realized this week was that Diego Luna and Pedro Pascal are both in the Star Wars franchise and also the Narcos franchise.
Mm.
It's like that's two very very different franchises. Those two guys are going well.
Yeah.
They were photographed together and I was like, which universe am I supposed to be looking at this in?
Fandoms.
Yeah, exactly.
And they would have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So I finally got around to seeing Knives Out this week.
Oh, yeah. What's it like?
Look, it was fantastic. I hate The Last Jedi. That was Rian Johnson. I hate The Last Jedi. But I love Looper and I absolutely adore Brick, which I think is his second movie. It might have been his first big release and stuff. The guy writes noir murder mystery stuff so damn well.
Mm.
And this is like locked in a castle murder mystery type
Emma
thing.
Thompson, right?
No.
No? Who?
Jamie Lee Curtis. Daniel,
that's who.
Daniel Craig doing his amazing southern drawl.
No, this is not Bond.
I'm here to investigate what's going on with this situation. Which is very, it's kind of like the accent he did for Lucky Logan, which is like the Ocean's 11 Hicks type movie. But yeah, he's the investigator. Great movie. I'm talking about this outside the watching recommendations because they've confirmed that there's a sequel in the works.
Awesome.
Completely different cast except for Daniel Craig.
Okay.
So his investigator will be returning. And
fantastic.
It's another mystery to go and solve.
He's got another franchise.
Yeah. And just fiendishly clever, this movie. So many of those movies, it's a whodunit right to the end. And this movie, very, very clever. At the end of maybe act one, you know whodunit. But the movie's How Done It, and it's four-dimensional chess taking place of people covering their own asses and this sort of stuff.
If you're a fan of murder mysteries, books or movies, recommended.
Yeah, so strongly recommended, and I'm very excited for the sequel.
Amazing. Something for you not to get excited about is, you know, Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest. They're two people on American TV who are on everything.
And they're very chipper.
Very chipper. They have Live with Kelly and Ryan. And I think it's sort of after the Today Show. Or, you know, so it's sort of that mid-morning kind of program.
I have a feeling Mario Lopez. Is
yes,
he on that one?
He would. If he's not, he probably guests on it every second week.
Universal will do a fake red carpet most mornings with him. And if you're going into the theme park, you could go and maybe be on Good Morning America or whatever one of those shows are. With Mario Lopez.
Anyway, we've known for years that Ryan Seacrest does everything all the time.
He's a busy man.
These two want to fill up more of their time because not only do they have this show, but they also want to start a sitcom-y kind of thing. They're doing a TV pilot together called Work Wife, and it's going to be about a platonic male-female team who do real estate. So they're real estate agents. They're doing a sitcom, and they'll do this show. Isn't he on radio as well? Yep.
He's got a lot of radio.
What's he doing?
He executive produces a bunch of TV shows and stuff.
Do they still have American Idol?
Yeah, I think so.
Isn't he the host on that?
No.
Oh, he's not?
No, he's been off Idol for a long time, but he's still one of the producers for it. He's very wealthy. He runs a tight game.
He must just go from meeting to meeting. Like, his whole life just must be meetings.
And he's been at E for
years. He's on E as well.
Yeah. He's a power player.
He's a mogul.
He's a Tyler Perry style.
Mm.
The Aquarium season 2 starts today.
Nice.
I'm very excited to have that back. That's the one from behind the scenes at the Georgia Aquarium.
You'll be going home and watching us straight away, right?
Oh, yes. Mm. Yes, I will. And then the trailer I saw was Spiral. Did you see this one?
No, what's this one about?
It's the Saw spin-off.
Ah.
Well, not necessarily spin-off We don't know how, we just know it does.
It's somehow connected.
Yeah, we don't. So there's a serial killer targeting cops, only cops, and putting them in the horrendous traps and things like that. And someone gets asked if they want to play a game.
And the answer is always no.
But no one does.
No, no
one
ever wants to, but they have to.
It'll connect to the other films now. I'm sure we're going to see. I think it was Detective Hoffman in the fourth one. No, third one, he was like the good cop trying to save it. And from the fourth one onwards, he was a disciple. Jigsaw turns a lot of people. If you survive a trap, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to end up working for Jigsaw because you're like, wow, you fixed my brain. Thank you.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
I got two really quick things.
Go for it.
Greta Thunberg is teaming up with BBC Studios. They're going to do a doco. I don't know how many episodes it's going to be, but they're basically just going to follow her around and a bit of a coming of age story about her and her activism and whatnot. So I'm sure that'll be quite popular.
Oh, that's going to rub a lot of people the right way and a lot of people the really wrong way.
And you know the ones I'm going to be watching on Twitter.
Okay, Boomer.
Yeah. Also, Turner and Hooch, we knew that was coming to Disney Plus.
Yeah.
We know who's going to be playing the
dog.
No, the bloke, the Tom Hanks character.
Mm.
It is Josh Peck from Drake and Josh. He was the larger boy, and he is now, and hasn't been for years. He's been quite slim and fit.
Yeah, he's glowed up.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's going to be that. And I was looking at his Instagram page. This guy's got 9.5 million followers on Instagram. Yeah. He's going gangbusters. So good on him. And in Disney Plus, I think he's going to be perfect because, I mean, I know that other show was from Nickelodeon. But
he's from that world.
Yeah, he's from that world, and I just think that's perfect casting.
Nice.
Anything else?
No.
Let's get into some watching stuff then.
Yes.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What was your favourite watch this week?
Lego Masters US.
Oh, yes. Okay, so I want to ask some questions about this.
Yep.
I want to know, in the lead up to it, we were talking about how it's probably going to lean more heavily into the competitive nature rather than the fun stuff. Were you right?
Well, it's funny you should say that because I wrote down a quote from the show.
Yeah?
Yeah. So it is, they've taken what was a very quaint British Bake Off style English format, and they have Americanized it. So it's a bigger set. It's bigger, flashy. There's more money involved.
Does not surprise me.
It starts with Will Arnett saying, you know, the winner of this competition, they either go home with $100,000 or $250,000 and the title of Lego Master.
It's a fair bit of money.
And it's like, and each week there's going to be prizes as well. So let's reveal this week's prize and a yellow, like a Lego yellow Lamborghini, like a real Lamborghini rolls out. And everyone's like, oh, my God. He's like, that's not the prize. Opens up the boot and there's thousands of dollars in there. And everyone's like, ah. And he's like, no, that's not the prize. And like lifts up some of the money and there's a gold brick, one single brick made of gold.
Like Lego brick?
Yep. He's like, this is the immunity brick. You win, you get immunity. We're not here for big flashy prizes. You can win at the end.
Mm.
We're here to challenge each other. And it's so it very quickly revealed itself to be like making it. of it's about doing a good job.
That's really good. I like that.
And there's two guys that are, I think, uni students or something like that. One is an engineering student and the other one, I don't know what he is, but he's a lot more confident.
Mm-hmm.
And the confident, brash one, they're talking about stuff. He's like, yeah, you know, we build Lego and stuff all the time. We're quite successful with it. As an engineering student, he's really good at visualizing things and bringing them together. And so, you know, honestly, I didn't come here to play. I came here to win. And then the other guy, very like,
there's a fight in words.
And the engineering guy just quietly pipes up and goes, "Oh, I came to play." And that is the show summed up. You've got one guy who's a little bit rash of like, yeah, I'm going to do the reality show format thing.
I'm not here to make friends.
And his other socially awkward mate is just like straight up, "Oh, I'm here to play. There's like so much Lego."
Yeah. That sounds.
And I feel like they addressed what my concern was really well. It is bigger and bolder. And the thing that's really cool is Will Arnett obviously has a lot of history with Lego. And he talks about that quite openly.
That's awesome. So within the episodes, there's a bit of chatter about it.
As it starts and he's introducing himself to the contestants, he's like, as someone with a background with a lot of Lego and, you know, I've worked with Lego very closely for almost 10 years now. This is a major moment for me standing here with you. So thank you for joining me on this journey.
And like, that's nice. Plays yeah, it that way. It's really nice. Okay. I like that.
So the tone was great. But because he's involved and he's obviously used a lot of sway, the Animal Logic guys that did the Batman Lego movie and the Lego movies animate things for the show. So the contestants, this first episode, have to build a dream theme park and each of them get one panel of ground and there's a monorail that runs through all the panels and they have to build something that comes together at the end. Your bits have to work individually. And when they bring their bits back and plug it all together, as each contestant talks through their stuff, it zooms in and they've 3D animated it to look like Lego Movie. So the theme park comes to life and Will Arnett's voicing different characters within it and stuff. It's so good.
That's next level.
It really is. Like, and I can see now why they've paired it with The Masked Singer. They've put a lot of money into this show and the ratings apparently reflect that.
That's
great. Done really, really
well. That's really good. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and so you must feel so happy knowing that you've got literally the rest of the season to enjoy.
I know. It's so good. And like ratings for stuff in Australia came out last year and Lego Masters here was the third biggest show that wasn't sport. Like
That's
the finale
great.
Of that was the third most watched thing.
Oh, I'm scared to know what the other two are.
Oh, other reality. Like
it'd
married,
have to. I was going to say Married at First Sight and maybe The Block or something like that.
Yeah, Block or MasterChef or
one
of them things. But yeah, Lego Masters snuck in there.
It's nice.
So bloody go.
We'll get another one then.
Oh, my God. They killed Kenny. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I decided to try out the Netflix program. Six episodes called Ragnarok.
Oh.
So this is the show that's set in Norway and is basically about a teen who arrives in a small town with his brother and his mother, and it was the mother's hometown.
Right.
So they're arriving there and they're going to live there forever. And then a strange woman does something to him and suddenly he starts to get a few extra superpowers or like strength. He doesn't call it that, strength. And then it slowly evolves that maybe giants still exist within this town and maybe they're quite influential within the community and he might be an old god. It's a real slow burner.
Oh, it have to be. It's Ragnarok. That's the cycle of rebirth and death.
And it all, I mean, I like the fact that it was six episodes because any longer I think it would have gone, dragged on a bit. But what I really liked about it was, okay, yeah, the actor looked very, very Scandinavian, but he also wasn't like totally ripped. He was just a teenager.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so you had this teenager who suddenly could punch trees down.
Awesome.
With his fist and there's some strange comings and goings. I don't think it would be for everyone just because it is quite a slow burn and it's also very much aimed for teenagers. But I think the fact that there is only six episodes, I would implore people to give it a try if you're interested in Norse mythology.
Yep.
And also if you're just a little bit intrigued to have a different premise behind Thor.
Does he get a sword or a weapon equivalent?
He's got a weapon equivalent, but it's very you could pop into someone's tool shed.
Sure, it's fitting.
and find that. Yeah, it's cool. So have a watch of it. What else have you watched?
I was very excited. I had intended to see Jojo Rabbit at Christmas when it was out, but I went away, and I had promised my best mate, Stu, love you, Stu, that we'd watch that movie together. So he came over and we watched Jojo Rabbit because it finally hit iTunes and it was just so good.
That is perfect timing as well, because there were a few wins at the Oscars. Yep.
And it deserved that best adapted screenplay. Mm. It was really, really solid. Fun in parts, very surprising. I didn't expect it to be quite as much a don't know what goes on in this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't expect that either.
Like, the trailers have done a really good job of making you feel like this is a movie that's going to go one direction, mm-hmm. and then it changes tones and directions a couple of times through. It was very good. Scarlett Johansson, very good. But my boy Sam Rockwell steals that.
That man is so underrated. Mm. He can play so many different characters in different ways that you can't actually – you know, when you think of people, I mean, this is not a great example, but you think of Jeff Goldblum, you're like, okay, he's going to be that sort of person.
Yes.
Even to a certain extent, someone like Tom Hanks, we were talking about him earlier, like he's going to play.
He's being America's sweetheart.
That's right. But Sam is just, you're like, oh, he's the bad guy, because I've watched him, the bad guy movie.
Nope.
And then he's something completely different in another one. He's amazing.
In the space of 2 months, he had Galaxy Quest, where he played the panicked red shirt, and The Green Mile.
Yeah. Yes.
He is versatile.
He certainly is.
I will go on record now and saying this, just plucking it from the air, and I think his performance in Moon is my favorite piece of acting by anyone.
Wow.
Because it's exactly what you're talking about. If he plays two, like, I'm not going to say it. That's just
spoiling. Fair enough.
Sea Moon.
I saw him in the one I seen him in more recently was Three Billboards.
Yes.
Outside whatever the place was called, and he is a very complex character in that, and that kind of acting cannot be done by everyone. Very specifically, very talented people.
Well, this very complex acting is what takes place in this movie as well. His offsider is someone you're a fan of, Alfie Allen. Yep, Theon's in there.
Yeah, right.
Doing a bit of a wonky German accent.
Okay.
But most of them are.
Holding on.
Okay. It's an intention. The one who has the worst accent, and it's on purpose, is the Gestapo officer played by Stephen Merchant.
Oh, yeah.
From
I can see him in that. Well, yeah. From lots of things, but...
Oh, hello. Hoping we can come in, have a look around.
It's not bad.
And it is him doing Stephen Merchant, but as a threatening Gestapo, yet very, very friendly person. I don't know. And which is Taika playing imaginary friend Hitler.
Of course it is.
And he has some of the best facial reactions I can remember.
Yet another person who I'm glad that... he is getting the recognition for all of the talent in all of the different areas that he has. He's amazing. Oh, speaking of amazing, I finally decided to jump in and give Barry a try.
Sure.
And that show is really good.
I keep intending to catch up with that because I watched like half the first season and it was great.
But it
just got swamped past me. And I feel like there's a lot of catching up. How far have you gotten through?
So I'm about halfway through the first season now. Mm. Yeah, I only started it on the weekend, and I really like a lot of the other characters. So the main character, Barry, is an interesting character, and it's an interesting premise, but it's not necessarily something that hasn't been explored in one way or another in the last maybe 10 years of TV.
Sure, of course, the anti-hero.
That's right. But I think it works really well in this. It's a nice mixture of everything that should be in a television show. And now I understand why it gets the recognition and the nominations and whatnot that it gets.
Everyone loves Bill Hader. You know he's BB-8?
I did not know that.
He and Ben Schwartz, who's John Ralphio from Parks and Recreation. And he's also voicing Sonic in the new Sonic movie. The two of them made a bunch of noises for J.J. Abrams that were then mixed together to become BB-8. So BB-8 is technically two people. Yeah, sorry, random.
I love that.
That's how Bill Hader cameos in Star Wars.
Huh. Look, as long as your name is attached to Star Wars, you've got to be happy.
I saw an interview with him about it. He's like, yeah, I just ran around in a booth going...
got paid.
Yeah.
Amazing.
La 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 la. The only show choosing not to keep up with any of the Kardashians. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Another show that I'm not going to talk about today, but in the next couple of weeks, I will. And I'm just giving you warning because I cannot believe that I'm the person out of the two of us who has watched the whole season of Watchmen. How have I been the one who's done that and not you?
Well, weirdly, I've been going back and catching up on some of the Marvel Netflix shows that I didn't finish. So I finished Daredevil this week. I'm partway through Punisher season 2. And I think I'm going to treat myself by not watching Iron Fist season 2.
Okay, fair enough. You can jump out of stuff easy. Yes. Yeah, there's no...
But those two have been in my list longer than Watchmen. That's why I've not gotten to Watchmen. And also, I feel like I need to give Watchmen the proper due.
You do.
You know, I know it involves a lot and they're jumping around timelines and confusion and this sort of stuff.
And for somebody, I'm talking about myself, for somebody who never knew anything about The Watchmen before I started watching it, I found it very confusing because I watched a lot of it in a quick succession.
Sure.
Because there would be little bits. I mean, this is perfect television binge watching methods, but there'd be little bits in it where they would reveal something. You're, oh, I got to watch the next one. And then I watch the next one and be like, I'm more confused. And I mean, it all did make sense in the end, but it was a hard slog for me in parts because I just didn't know what was going on.
Sure.
Where I know that you would have the comic background.
But from what I understand, like, I've watched most of the first episode and it doesn't seem to tie in much at all.
Okay.
Like, this is a 30 years later or something. There's hints of what I've seen because, you know, the movie, I can't remember if the movie and the comic finished the exact same, but the comic was a alien squid thing attacking New York and that rallied the world into world peace of like, we all need to fight back against aliens.
Okay.
And this sort of stuff. So it doesn't feel quite as much tying into that.
There's a little.
I'm sure it will come up later.
I know of the squid.
Yes.
I'll just put it like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know Jeremy Irons is off in his castle doing his thing.
Jeremy Irons, so having a lot of fun in that.
I know he's going to be coming up with some more plans because that's what Adrian Veidt does.
He's a planner.
He makes plans. Ooh. And then he goes, someone's got to be the villain. You can hate me, but I'll force progress on this world.
He's so perfect for that role. He really is. It's weird. Yeah, I need you to watch it so that I can ask some questions.
Sure. Well, look, now that I've finished Daredevil season 3, I already knew at the time, but I can say that I am, of all the Marvel shows, most disappointed about it being cancelled because it was really good.
Like, it was huge as well at the time. It was absolutely huge.
Vincent D'Onofrio is amazing as Kingpin. The guy they had setting up all season, Benjamin Poindexter, who was the FBI agent that slowly got corrupted and by the end of the season is very clearly about to become Bullseye for season 4, which is the bad guy Colin Farrell played in the Daredevil movie and
right,
stuff.
Right, okay.
It set things up that it was going to be going in a really interesting place. So I was bummed that it ended. I'm not as bummed because I know that they'll do something cool with Daredevil in the movies or they'll do another show or something like
this. It was so popular.
It was really popular.
Mad not to take advantage of him.
You got to give the guy props, like Charlie Cox, who plays Daredevil. I don't think I've ever seen anyone play blind better. And it's one of those iffy things because people are so woke now that you want to cast someone with a disability in that sort of role. But there's no way that you could have someone do fight sequences if they were actually blind. Do you know what I mean? So the delicate balance this guy has of underplaying the disability at all times because he's not limited by being blind in any way because he's got the radar sense and this sort of stuff. So you can see this strange acting going on of because he can see, he's fully aware of where things are, but he's always staring into the middle distance or things like that and his eye line never matches up. You can see this dude acting while not acting. It's really good. Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah. So that's why I haven't watched Watchmen yet. I'm sorry, teacher.
Look, don't get it ready for next week because I feel that would be cramming like
that's
I did.
That's too much.
We'll check back soon and do that. I reckon we crack on into a quiz.
Mm. open a cold one with the boys.
This one was sent in by Hayley via the Watchers podcast at gmail.com. She said, "Hi, Tom and Leah. I hope you're both well and watching some great stuff." Well, I think we have.
Yes.
At least this week.
Yes.
I feel quite happy with what I watched. I've made a quiz for Tom to attempt about actors who have famous parents. I hope you like it.
All right. Thanks, Hayley. Let's have a go.
All right. So I'm going to say the actor's name, and then you've got to say one or both of their parents.
Okay.
Just...
let's see.
Let's
go. How I do.
You'll be fine. Right. I've read through them already.
Right. Of course you have.
Billy Lord.
That is Carrie Fisher's daughter.
Good work.
She was fantastic in Booksmart.
Yes, she was, wasn't she? Took me a while to figure out. You know who I thought she was in Booksmart before I checked IMDb?
Who?
I thought she was the youngest daughter in The Nanny. They kind of look similar.
She was on...
I think she's a bit older,
Californication.
Though.
Oh. I know who you're talking about. 100% dude. Yeah.
I think Billy might be a little younger.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher. That's the next one.
Who's Carrie Fisher's mum?
Mm-hmm. Sort of clue. When Carrie Fisher passed away, her mother was very upset. And she was quite an elderly lady that she actually died a couple of days after Carrie. It was really super horrendously sad.
I don't remember her name.
Debbie?
Harry? No.
Debbie Reynolds.
There you go,
Debbie Reynolds. Who was in, not Sound of Music, Singing in the Rain. She was in, she played Grace's mother in Will and Grace.
There you go.
A lot of other stuff as well. But I heard her father, as in Carrie Fisher's father, Eddie Fisher, was quite famous as well. And she has a half-sister called Jolie Fisher, who used to be in the Ellen DeGeneres sitcom back in the day. Yeah. I'm sure she does other stuff now, but...
the family got connects.
They certainly do. Speaking of family who has connects, this one will be easy for you. Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz? Okay. So Lenny Kravitz is the father.
Mm-hmm.
Is the mother, I want to say, is it Lisa Bonet?
Yep.
Which means that her stepfather is Jason Momoa.
I actually had written here, I did that myself, bonus points for stepfather. You got it. Nice one. Meanwhile, Zoe Kravitz is in almost everything at the moment.
Yeah. I first think I saw her in Mad Max Fury Road. She was one of Furiosa's Furies.
She was in something I watched recently. Like might talk about it in the next couple of weeks. It was a movie called Rough Night.
With
lots of people.
Is Rebel Wilson in that one?
No, Scarlett Johansson. And
Kate McKinnon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Rebel couldn't
not
be
the
there.
Not the Kristen Wiig one.
No. But she's also Zoe Kravitz. I saw is also in a new, I think it's for Hulu, TV adaptation of High Fidelity.
Yes. Yeah, I had seen some of
it. It sounds interesting.
It does. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm very protective of High Fidelity.
Yeah, what, the TV show or the movie?
The movie.
Or both? Not the TV show, I mean the book.
The book, yeah.
Female.
Early Nick Hornby. That's my jam.
Yeah. I liked the book about a boy more than the movie.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I can't even remember. I didn't even see he did one book about people who went to commit suicide on a rooftop.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I've actually got that book at home. I haven't started
book
it
yet.
Book
is fantastic.
It's really good.
Really, really okay. Good. Also, if you want a quick and easy read, he puts out books that are, I think one was called 31 Records or something like that, and they're just short mini essays about different songs that moved him and changed his life in some way. Really interesting read.
That'd be a good one. I think that one would suit me, and I suspect you as well, better than the book. I can't remember what it was called, but it was about how much he loves soccer.
I read that. I don't like soccer
at all. I
struggled
with it.
But it was a book about passion.
Yeah, it was a book about passion, but I wasn't as passionate about it as some of his other books.
Well, these ones, the short essays are fantastic because each one forces you to think of a similar moment in your life. And you, like, by the end of it, I was like, oh, I've probably got 25 songs myself that would fit into these situations.
Yeah, right.
So that's really, yeah.
I'm going to read that. Bryce Dallas Howard.
Ron Howard's daughter.
I listened to The Testaments, which is The Handmaid's Tale sequel book, and she was one of the characters' voices.
I was going to say, did they write her?
No, it wasn't Bryce Dallas Howard. No, she was a character. I don't want to give too much away because there's stuff in there. It ties in probably a little more to the TV show than the original book.
Okay.
So you kind of, if you haven't seen the TV show and you're like, oh, I've read the book, you're going to be a little confused. Jamie Lee Curtis. Her dad was a bit of a playboy around town.
Not Richard Curtis.
No.
I know this.
It starts with T.
Tony Curtis? Yeah.
And Janet Leigh. I don't know if you would have gotten Janet Leigh.
No, that's who I
think. Oh, you would have gotten Janet Leigh.
Yeah, because she's in Psycho. That's who I'm thinking. I'm going in my head. What's her name?
Do you know I get...
Janet Jason Leigh. Was it?
But Jamie Lee Curtis and Melanie Griffith's parents, I get mixed up because Melanie Griffith's mother was in The Birds, which was another Hitchcock movie. Yes. And I get those two switched around the whole time. Do you want the last one? Easy one?
Sure.
Angelina Jolie. I'm pretty sure her.
John Voight.
Yeah. They do not get on at all.
Oh, I know. I had to think, and in my head, it's unfortunate, but when I think of John Voight, I don't think of any of his great acting roles. I think of his horrible accent in Anaconda. So in my head, I'm like, he's a big snake we'll find on a river.
Wasn't he her father in one of the Lara Croft movies?
I think so, yeah.
And that was like the only moment in time where they got on. Weird. That means he would have had to have put an English accent on for that. I'm going to have to watch it.
You do that and let me know how they go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Or I'll just Google it.
His scenes, YouTube their scenes. John Voight in Tomb Raider only. Tomb Raider.
Perfect. That's it. Well done.
All right. There were a few that stumped me and there were some that were the low balls. Great. Thanks, Hayley.
Yeah, that was a really good one, Hayley.
Hayley, hold your hand up. Here it comes.
Oh, yeah, 5 stars, I reckon I'll give that quiz for sure. If you've got a quiz that you think will be a lot of fun for us or will potentially stump us, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com is the place to send that to.
I'm doing the Morpheus.
Yes, you are.
Come here and fight.
Yeah, and you, the listener, you're Neo. You've already taken the red pill.
I know kung fu.
On that note, Tom, thank you.
Whoa.